Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. Organizations in Brookings collaborate for Cultural Appreciation Day today, where hundreds of school children explore their own cultures, as well as cultures outside of their own experience. We're joined on the phone today from Brookings by Nathan Ziegler. He's Director of Diversity, Inclusion, Equity, and Access at South Dakota State University. Nathan, welcome. Thanks for being here.
Well, thank you for having me, Lori.
Now, this is the inaugural Cultural Appreciation Day, or is that right?
That's correct. The first one that we've held as a collaborative effort.
Yeah. All right. So take me back to some of the planning and what the intent and inspiration was for this event.
Well, it really starts with the South Dakota World Affairs Council. Amanda McQuam, who's a representative of the council, was meeting with that group, and they decided that they wanted to start cultural education at a younger age in the community. And so Amanda sort of brought together a group of people from the Children's Museum and from Camelot Intermediate School and then from South Dakota State University about almost a year ago to start planning and thinking about ways that we could bring more cultural diversity education into the community.
Did she see a problem? Was there a problem that you were trying to address that was sort of manifesting itself in a particular way, or did it just come from, you know, this sounds like a good idea, and why aren't we doing it?
It really comes from that idea of garnering cultural appreciation. So it's not really in response to any sort of issues that were happening, but really starting to cultivate the open-mindedness and the curiosity of our young people and just exploring different cultures and diversity in general, and really equipping them with the intercultural communication skills to learn about difference. And so it really comes from the idea of cultural appreciation as something that can develop over time.
Who's all involved in the collaboration? What organizations joined together in the planning process?
So we have a couple representatives from the World Affairs Council. Two of us are from South Dakota State University, myself and Molly Enns, who's a professor in French and Global Studies. We have a couple teachers from Camelot and Carrie Benson from the Children's Museum. And so, you know, from the World Affairs Council, Amanda Quam and Deb DeBates were really kind of the starting point, and they brought in the Children's Museum and SDSU as well to collaborate and to start brainstorming.
All right. So tell me about the event. What did all that brainstorming lead to?
Well, that's a good question. So we started with really defining what we wanted the students to get out of this. We could, you know, that's diversity is a sort of very broad definition, and we wanted to pull it down into some tangible things. And so we wanted to first get students to explore their own identity and to think about how unique they are just as individuals, and starting from that vantage point and then learning about other cultures. So we really have two primary activities. One is an iceberg activity where students learn about identity and the different ways that it manifests itself externally and internally. And then we gathered a lot of people from different backgrounds, members of the community, students, faculty, business leaders in the community from different cultural backgrounds, and they have different stations representing the cultural background. So we have people from Sri Lanka, from Brazil, from Russia and India. We have representatives from different tribal nations here from the Pine Ridge Reservation and the Flandreau, Sisseton, Wahpeton. We have people from France and Norway and Ethiopia and Congo. And so really this really nice sort of a group of people that represent all of these different backgrounds. And they're talking about unique things about their culture and also things that might be very similar to the culture that the students know.
Talk to me a little bit about the part where you explore your own identity, because that opens up a whole a range of emotions and questions from kids.
That's right. And, you know, the idea here is that people talk about what they feel comfortable exploring. So we're not pushing into things that might be private or personal. But, you know, things like family traditions, ethnicity, language, those are some of the sort of obvious ones. But even things like food or hobbies or beliefs and value systems. And so really the idea is to look at all the different ways that our identity is shaped and letting people explore that in the ways that they feel comfortable and not sort of projecting in any sort of expectations on what they share or don't share.
Do you think kids might get stuck and feel like, you know, there's nothing, you know, my family's been here a long time. Maybe they don't have a tribal affiliation or, you know, and they start asking, well, who am I? Am I interesting? Like, how do you encourage people to sort of explore that level of identity as well?
That's a good question. I mean, we have to start as being models for that and really giving nice exemplars and ways that we all look and are different. And we want to encourage the idea that diversity is more than race and more than ethnicity. And looking at how, you know, complex it is and how it sort of evolves and shapes over time. And I think the students are, the children have been very, very open to that idea.
Yeah. Tell me about your job a little bit at SDSU as Director of Diversity, Inclusion, Equity, and Access.
Yeah. It's a newer position. The President Barry Dunn and the President's Council formed about 2 years ago. And so I've been at SDSU for 4.5 years, but just took this role in June. And the idea with this position is to really look at how we're integrating diversity and inclusion throughout the campus, whether that's at the faculty and staff levels, the students' levels, and even our interactions with the communities around us, and how we're integrating these principles into our curriculum, our policies, our programming, and really then how are we turning the corner into looking at equity and access, and access defined as financial or accessibility in terms of ADA compliance and looking at our accessibility for people with disabilities. So it's a very sort of broad position, but the idea is that it's going to pull together some of the different initiatives and pull it into sort of a comprehensive plan that allows us to take the university to the next level with our diversity and inclusion initiatives. And that could be recruiting people from different backgrounds and really establishing a campus climate that's welcoming and supportive of people from underrepresented or marginalized communities.
Where do you think when you look at where you're at today at SDSU, mm-hmm. where do you feel really good about, like, you know, this is working really well, and then we'll talk about areas where you need to gain a little traction. So first, you know, what's working really well right now?
Well, we have a couple really key initiatives that are happening and that have been happening even before I took my position. So SDSU's international numbers have more than doubled in the last 5 years. It's really become a very nice tapestry of international cultures. We have 89 different countries represented on our campus. And so our diversity is really growing in that regard. We've also, President Dunn and the Provost and Vice President are really leading a new initiative called the Wakiti Initiative that's designed to promote engagement with the tribal communities and promote Native American student success at the university. And so these are two areas where we're really kind of growing and excelling, I think, as an institution. We still have a lot of areas to improve. Our diverse population numbers are relatively small from the non-international populations, the domestic populations, and so we've got to do a better job of increasing that population, and then not just getting people here, but supporting them throughout their experience and helping our campus go to that next level of sort of multiculturalism. And what I mean by that, you know, there's sort of different stages in multicultural education, and what we want to do is go to a stage where where most people are very appreciative of diversity and value it and seek out those opportunities. And that will really help us turn the tide here in terms of being inclusive as a community.
What are some of the ways that you, you know, provide a supporting experience or look for Native American student success, for example? Are there specifics that you can talk about that you've been able to learn really helps kids stay in college and survive and have a good, positive experience?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's about the support networks. Making students and people, underrepresented people in general, so faculty and the employees, feel welcome across the board. So when each point of contact is a familiar face and a face that's welcoming and is willing to be adaptive to the person's needs. So a lot of times, you know, we treat people the same. We have this idea of equality, but really we need to look at equity and giving additional attention to people that may seek out or need some more support or may need to navigate the system a little better. You know, one thing that in terms of our indigenous students and tribal students is we really need to do a better job of reaching out like throughout the whole campus. We have an American Indian Student Center right now that has really good staff of two people, and so the Wikini Initiative is going to build up that support network and give those students the points of contact around the campus that helps them feel really a part of a family, a broader community. And then at the same time, supporting their individual identities and backgrounds and understanding the diversity within the tribal nations in the state and throughout the country.
So do you think it's possible, you know, hypothesize a little bit here, but that something like Cultural Appreciation Day, if you're able to continue it and build on the programming that you have this year, does that feed into what happens at SDSU then? Are you thinking that long term?
Yes, absolutely. I think, you know, what I'd like to see is a point where people already have diversity as a understanding and a knowledge by the time they get to college. And that's not always the case. And so really it's about exposure and getting students in the younger age, children at the younger age, to be exposed to it from an early stage and just understanding all of the ways that people are different and the same. Well, there's a lot of similarities too. But getting to that point that when students come to college, then they start to really look beyond that and start to go into these sort of higher levels of interpersonal and intercultural communication and collaboration and developing those skills beyond just understanding that there is difference.
And I'm wondering if there are specific things that I'm sort of, my mind is turning over what you just said about, you know, looking at the ways that we're the same and also exploring those differences. I think that's a really fascinating topic of conversation, how that balances together. And do you think at some point incoming freshmen, incoming college students will, you know, ask about diversity, will, I won't say demand, but, you know, will make their college choices and be more willing to stay in South Dakota for school if they feel like there are diverse, you know, representations among the student body and among the faculty and a strong diversity of ideas as well?
I think that is a trend. I mean, there are different rankings and things. There's a great ranking for LGBTQIA-friendly campuses, and it looks at all the ways that students from those identities are supported or not supported. But I think students in general are looking for, or will be, not all of them, but are looking for those experiences that really equip them to be a global citizen and to give them those opportunities to engage with difference. I think that's one trend. I think there's a trend on the other side as well, and that's where we have to pull people along and get them to just see the value and appreciation for diversity, because there's an isolationist kind of trend happening on the other end of that, and the world is much more diverse than than small groups of people. We want to break those bridges down. Right. So break those walls down and build bridges.
Yeah, well, we'll end with that notion of diversity of ideas and point of view as well. Mm-hmm. Nathan Ziegler is Director of Diversity, Inclusion, Equity, and Access at SDSU. The Children's Museum of South Dakota today is where the event is. Participating groups, Camelot Intermediate School, Children's Museum, South Dakota State University, and the South Dakota World Affairs Council, all creating this cultural appreciation today. Cultural Appreciation Day today. Nathan, thank you so much for being here. We'll see you next time.
Thank you very much, Lori.